Happy Sabbath. I'm glad that we could come together again this Sabbath, even though it's through live streaming. It's good to be here. And I hope all is well with each and every one of you at home. A lot has happened in this last week, last several weeks, in fact. And it just kind of shows us and proves to us over and over how much more and more we need Jesus. And as we look at today's message, I just ask that that you'll be praying for me, that I will find the right words and use the right words that will bring us together and not separate any of us. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your love and your blessings. I thank you for watching over all this past week and taking good care of us. Be with those that are ill, be with those that have had emergencies. Bless them, I pray, and may their faith in you be strong. May they know that you're right there beside them. Bless those in the world that are hurting right now. May they sense your presence also. And help us understand what's going on. Help us to grasp and understand the times we're living in. And use us, I pray, use us as your people in a mighty way to bring hope, courage, and comfort to one another. It is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay put until. Interesting scripture, isn't it? Well, you know, it's been almost 11, 12 weeks since we have been isolated from coming together for worship. And during this time, we've heard different phrases over and over and over again and again. Phrases like COVID-19 or coronavirus or social distancing. Flattening the curve. The list goes on and on in all these different phrases. There's been one phrase that we know personally, whether we're sick or whether we remain healthy, a phrase that we've heard several times. And that phrase is shelter in place. I can remember driving down the highway a week or so ago and seeing the big billboard sign, stay home, stay safe. Well, okay. In March, last March, the government issued a shelter-in-place order. Residents were not allowed to leave their home except for essential supplies. Essential supplies. It kind of amazes me how Lowe's and Home Depot carried essential supplies. A lot of people seem to be going there. Well, during this time, you could not get a haircut. You could not go to a restaurant to sit down and eat. But the worst of all things is that we, as a people, could not come together and worship as a group, as a church family. But it's also interesting to me is this is not the first time this has ever happened to the church. This is not the first time the church was asked to shelter in one place or to stay put until. In the days following Jesus' resurrection, he gathered his disciples together and he prepared them for what was coming. And then he said to them, he says, I want you to shelter in place in Jerusalem. Interesting thought, isn't it? Luke 24:49. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. We also see this in chapter 1 of the book of Acts. Acts reads 4:14. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them the command, do not leave Jerusalem. But wait, For the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. And so for 10 days, the disciples prayed. They waited for 10 days. This prayer meeting actually coincided with the holiday festival that was called the Feast of Pentecost. You see, it was a Jewish festival that they celebrated the wheat harvest, and it came 50 days after the Passover. The Feast of Pentecost was similar to what we have today, what we call our Thanksgiving Feast or Thanksgiving Day. So as the people in his community were coming together and enjoying these holidays and feasting and having celebration, what are the disciples doing? They're staying in place. They're praying. They're waiting for God to fulfill his promise. And as I was putting this message together, I was thinking to myself, wow, what if the last 10, 11, 12 weeks, while we were staying in place, we focused totally on prayer and asking the Holy Spirit to fill us? What would have happened? What would have happened if this time, a period that went by, if we really had searched our hearts deeply as the disciples did? What would have happened if we would have pleaded with God and waited patiently for a power beyond what we've ever experienced? Things might be different. But it's not too late. It's not too late, because we can still, in the days ahead, while we're still waiting. In verses 5 and 8, it says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 8 says, "But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world." These disciples were waiting in that upper room because Jesus asked them to wait, because he promised them a special power that they may witness. How are we doing today, friends? How are you and I doing? Are we witnessing freely without hesitation? If we're not, we don't have that power, do we? What if we start focusing on waiting and praying for the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives? They were sheltered. They were sheltered in place for 10 days. And as they were praying, what happened? The Holy Spirit was released in that upper room. The wind of God blew. This was not a normal breeze. No, no, no. It was more than that. It was a spiritual wind that blew in the room and released this spiritual energy into the lives of these disciples who were praying. Not only wind, but it seemed like a fire. It says tongues of fire that fell upon them as they prayed. In the natural, we might say that fire is a source of energy, and it warms. It purifies. It can provide direction. This was a spiritual type of fire that revolutionized those disciples as they prayed. These disciples witnessed a page of history. Never before had God blown into a room with such spiritual intensity. Never. Their lives were changed, and they would never be the same. And we pick the story up in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It reads, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I don't know what the scene in the upper room was really like. I wasn't there. I don't know what each disciple really experienced. I wasn't there, or what they felt. But I can imagine that perhaps they looked at each other and they finally said, Now we can leave this place. Now we're not in quarantine. Now we're not shut down. We can now leave and we can go out and we can spread the word because the power of God has fallen upon us. On that day, the Holy Spirit came upon that group of very ordinary people. And it gave them the power to spread Jesus and his word, to take the message that Jesus had given them, to take it to the whole world. That's the power that they were given. And I believe with all my heart that that same power is available today to each and every one of us. I believe it. As we rethink the story, I wonder if it is just a history lesson to us. It's just something we reread back on and we think about, and yeah, it happened back there, so it's just a piece of history. Or is it a reminder to us that the Holy Spirit is ready to fill us with his power today? When we read that, do we really believe that? Is it really, really real to us? Do we really want it? Do we have time in our lives for Spirit power? Do we have time for it? It is a power that will help us live every day to the fullest potential. As we read through the book of Acts, we see, just a second, here we go. As we read through the book of Acts, we see how this power changed the lives of the disciples. It changed the lives of the disciples. I believe that your life, and I believe that my life, can be changed also through the power of the Holy Spirit like never before. I believe that there are four distinct qualities that the power of the Holy Spirit wants to give us even today as believers of Jesus. Let's take a look at the first one. I believe that the Holy Spirit will give you power to share Christ boldly. I mean boldly. Have you ever come to a place in your life when somebody was talking to you and you had this feeling that you wanted to say something about Jesus, you wanted to share Jesus with them, but you were kind of held back? You weren't sure you should say it at that time. You're sure the timing wasn't quite right? Well, I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit is within us and moving harshly on us, we will speak forward boldly and witness for Jesus. You see this in the life of Peter. Prior to Pentecost, Peter iced in fear, not in faith. He was one of that denied Jesus three times. Think about that. He knew Jesus. He'd been walking with Jesus for 3 years. And now he had a chance to witness for Jesus. And through fear, he blew it. He denied Jesus three times. And even when Jesus was dying on the cross, Peter was nowhere to be found. Yet after being baptized, with the Holy Spirit, Peter became fearless in preaching Jesus. After he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he received a supernatural courage and boldness that gave him confidence to stand up and to preach to thousands of people. Come on, friends. Do you want that kind of power? Do I want that kind of power? I hope so. I do want that kind of power. The Apostle Paul had a very similar experience. He struggled with public speaking, Paul did. But when Paul stood up to preach, his words were anointed with a power that was greater than himself. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 to 4. My message, Paul says, and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Paul is saying, words of wisdom is not what's going to convict you to follow Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to follow, that's going to get you to follow Jesus. We need that power. You and I need that power. And during this time of waiting, we should be pleading to God to fill us with such power. I believe the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit power given to the disciples, is available to you and me today. So if we're not witnessing, and I am asking myself the same question, if we're not witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to ask ourselves the question, why not? Why aren't we? Have we really committed ourselves to Jesus 24/7 totally? Are we asking the Holy Spirit to enter our lives every day? We've been asked to do that every day. And we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. Jesus commanded the disciples to wait into Jerusalem for the promise. Now, they weren't idle. Don't get it wrong. They weren't idle during that time. The disciples were continually in the temple, it says. They're praising, blessing God, according to Luke 24:53. We're told as the disciples waited for the fulfillment of the promise, they humbled themselves in true repentance and confessed their unbelief. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to get together and humble ourselves and ask God to forgive us because we really don't believe. This is just a history book. Disciples prayed for intense earnestness, for the fitness to meet men in their daily intercourse that they spoke. They prayed that when they met different individuals, that they would have the boldness that the Spirit would give them, that Jesus promised, that they have words that would lead sinners to Jesus. You go to the grocery store, you see people, you see the clerk. I don't want you to become obnoxious, but do you have the boldness to share Jesus? Disciples put away all differences. They put away all desire for supremacy, we're told. They came close together in Christian fellowship. They drew nearer and they drew nearer and nearer to God. Can we do the same? Days of preparation were days of deep heart searching, we're told. The disciples felt that their spiritual need and they cried for the Lord for holy action that was to fit them for the work of soul saving. That was their whole purpose. This is our whole purpose in life. Our work is to be the work of soul saving. We are members of the body of Christ. We've accepted that mission when we accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. They didn't ask for a blessing on themselves. They were weighted down with the burden of the salvation of souls. Listen to these words. Desire of Ages, page 39. God, therefore, in a miraculous manner, supplied the deficiency of the apostles. The Holy Spirit did for them that which they could not accomplish for themselves in a lifetime. Wow. In a moment, the Holy Spirit did for them what they couldn't do for a lifetime. I really believe this, friends. This is going to happen again before Jesus comes. Do you want it? Do I want it? Do we desire it? If we pray like never before, asking for the Holy Spirit, I believe it will happen. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, our words will be anointed with God's power. When you are prompted to share your faith, when you're seeing somebody and speaking to them, to someone, you will, because you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember number one. The Holy Spirit will give you power to share Jesus boldly. Number two, the Holy Spirit will give you power to stand strong when you are weak. When you get to the end of your strength, when you feel you're just totally finished and you can't give another inch because you're just too weak, you're too worn out, physically, spiritually, mentally, you've had it. Did you know the Holy Spirit is strong enough, powerful enough to make you strong again? The Holy Spirit gives you power, we're promised, when you're weak. Look at 2 Corinthians verse 12. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? Weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, for that Christ's power may rest upon me. Paul's saying, hey, man, I'm really weak because I need God's power. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You may have a sin in your life that you cannot overcome. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you power where you're weak, because with Him you can get through it. Friends, I know. I have fought sin all my life. As Paul says, I'm the worst of all sinners. I can look back and I can remember a sin in my life. No, I'm not going to advertise it. But I fought so hard, I could not overcome that sin. Until I took it to Jesus, I said, Jesus, I need help beyond help. And I fasted and I prayed for 7 days. And by the grace of God, He gave me victory. We can overcome sin. Maybe it's an addiction. You have fought and you have fought against it, but nothing seems to work. Ask God for His power. He's promised it. You can overcome addiction. Maybe it's a relationship you aren't supposed to be in. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and protect you. You might be breaking the rules at work. A little white sins, you don't matter that much, you know. Oh, yeah? Sin is sin. Nothing big but the little bit here and a little bit there. You know it's wrong, but you just keep doing it. Ask God to guide you through the power of the Holy Spirit that where you are weak, he will make you strong. Let's look at that text again. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power can rest in me. For when I am weak, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am strong. The first distinct quality the power of the Holy Spirit wants to give you as a believer in Jesus is the power to share Christ boldly. Second, the power to help you stand strong when you're weak. This is what he promises. And when that wind blows upon you, the third power that he has promised us is to give us hope in a world that is increasingly hopeless. Oh boy, are we living in a hopeless world right now? Whew. We need power, friends. We need Holy Spirit power. This is where we find ourselves right now, in a hopeless world, a world that has gone crazy. We've experienced a lot of changes in our lives. And with those changes that recently have come upon us, we find uncertainty, financial pressures, social isolation. You may worry about getting sick. How long is this pandemic going to last? What's the future going to bring? How long are these riots going to keep going on and destruct this and distract that? Is there any hope? Many of us are overloaded with information and life just feels out of control. Deaths, shootings, rioting all across America in every street and almost every city brings about a feeling of hopelessness and so many unanswered questions. Where are we? How long is this going to last? Where is it taking us? Is this it, Jesus? Are you letting the winds let loose? Are we sealed? Brings about a lot of questions, doesn't it? Listen to the prayer in the book of Romans. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may be overflowed with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our hope comes from above. Our hope comes with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Put your hope in God. If you put your hope in God, everything else, your hope is going to be limited. But put your hope in God. The scripture says, if you put your hope in God, you will live in the overflow. To those of you who may have lost your job, remember, God is the provider. To those who are sick, remember, God is the healer. To those who are worried about tomorrow, is our hope in God? Yes. Let the Holy Spirit be your comforter. To those who have suffered loss, the scripture says that we don't grieve like those who have no hope because we have the promise of a better day is coming. If you're hurting today, may this verse become so real to you that we be filled with joy and overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to put our hope in God. Let me look at it again. May the God of hope fill you. In other words, may you be filled with hope because you're filled with God. With a joy and peace as you trust him. So that you may overflow with hope by the Holy Spirit. Friends, our hope comes from above, not from what we see that's going on in the world today. It's time to put our hope in God. Here's the fourth promise I promised you. The fourth one. The Holy Spirit will give you power to experience the fullness of God. Many say, I'm a Christian. And when they say that, what are they really saying? What about us? Are we saying we have checked the boxes? I believe in God. I was baptized. I joined the church. I read my Bible every now and then, and I try to be a good person. I'm a Christian. I've gone through all the beliefs. I've checked them off. I'm a Christian. But let me ask you, after checking the boxes, do we go on living our lives like before? Do we look any different than the rest of the world? Are we still hurting? Are we still addicted, still filled with worries, still broken, still struggling? Do we have any real faith or any victory in our lives? If we are suffering these things and see no changes, then we're just like the disciples before Pentecost. We accepted Jesus as a personal Savior, but there's no power. No power. You know what that is? That's the form of godliness. But we don't have the power of God. All we have done is check the boxes. But there's nothing on the inside. The message of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit will give us power to experience all of the things of God. Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 19. I pray out of those glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit of your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. When we live in the fullness of God, brothers and sisters, our lives will look different. People will say to us, there's just something different about you. It seems like you have joy in these toughest situations. You have hope and it seems like everything is falling apart. People will see inside of us and they will want what we have when we have that power. When we have the fullness of God, his blessings will chase us down and overtake us. We will not be able to outrun the good things of God when we have that power. We will experience new levels of favor, new levels of healing, new levels of restoration, and new levels of joy when we have the power of God in our hearts. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples received the fullness of God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Their eyes were opened to God's heart, and they realized that God's heart is for everyone. And God's house is for everyone. Everyone. We are all created in the image of God. All of us. Every one person, every human being out there. Everyone. I don't care what the color was or the race is or anything. Everyone was created in the image of God. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost before thousands. And the people said, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's Peter's promise. Everyone, for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this message is for everyone. And we can't forget that. It's for you. It's for me. It's a message of salvation. And Paul writes in Romans in chapter 1, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is a power of God that brings salvation to everyone that believes." Everyone. This message is for everyone. It's not just for you and not just for me. It is a message of salvation. And Peter goes on and he says, "The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come in repentance. The message is for everybody. There's not one human soul out there this message is not for. We can be changed. We can be made whole. We can be set free. This message is not just for a few. It is not just for the privileged. This message is for everyone. It is for the whole world. John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." It's for everyone. God loves you. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live or where you came from, what nationality you are. God loves is for boys gone bad and girls gone wild. His love is for those with special needs and for victims of rape. His love is for bikers, gang members, for kids with two dads, for people who are counting their days clean and sober. His love is for frontline workers, for farmers, for truck drivers, for stockbrokers, single moms, rednecks, and seminary graduates. It's for politicians, Democrats, Republicans, and independents. It is for factory workers, tattoo artists, foster kids, and meth dealers. His love is for families falling apart, for families pretending that they have it all together. God's love is for everyone. It's for you. It's for me. The message of the day of Pentecost is, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved." You can change. You can be saved. It's time for us to get the junk out of our lives and to fulfill that empty spot with the power of the Holy Spirit. An old country preacher who, as the years went by, began to lose his eyesight. His eyes kept getting dimmer and dimmer, and he couldn't see. Got to the place he couldn't even read anymore. So he'd go to church on Sunday mornings, and he'd have someone take up the Bible. Yeah. He'd have someone take the Bible up, and he couldn't read it. And he had him turn to the books of Acts, first couple of chapters. And he would stand up there next to that person. And he'd reach out. And he put his hand on the text. He couldn't read it. He just put his hands there on the text. And he'd look up and he'd say, "Do it again, God. Do it again. Do it again, God. Do it again." Friends, I want God to do it again. I want Holy Spirit power to be bold, to be joyful, to be courageous in times like we're living. Father God, we need your power. As we stay home, Father, help us to pray like the disciples prayed when they waited and waited. May we pray for the fulfilling of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We need you, Father. We cannot go on living like we've been living in the past. We cannot go on living without the power of your Spirit. Oh, Father, if there's anyone who desires to accept Jesus and be baptized, have them contact us. Bless us and help us while we're in the waiting room. Fill us with your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple offers I'd like to give you if you're interested. If you'd like to have some Bible lessons, learning more about Jesus, accepting Jesus, we have discovery lessons. The first lesson says we can believe in God. And I have a book also I'd like to give to those who accepting Jesus as a personal Savior for the first time. It's called Jesus Our Savior. All you have to do is just drop a postcard in an address we see there on the screen, Post Office Box 74, Medford, Oregon. Or give us a call, 541-773-6097. And we'll be happy to send these to you. And may God's Spirit reign and rule within us, that we may be bold for Him. In Jesus' name I pray.